local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
On a jet plane, don't know.
Welcome back. It's too funny not to do. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. We did leave in on a jet plane just for Steve.
Because I am leaving Friday again.
I mean, every time I talk to you, dude, you are on an airplane going to some other place, other country, other world.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, that guy says, so when Polly comes in, I said, we got to do like leaving on a jet plane. It's like, it just seems appropriate. Let's talk Whitefields Ministries. For those that do not know, whitefields.org is the website. Steve Wheeler, also their ministry can be reached at 760. This is kind of a corporate number, right?
It's answered by probably Brenda at the accounting department there.
Okay, 760-846-8610. I'm going to give Steve his opportunity. He talks to you guys on a regular basis, but you need to stay current with what's going on. Talk to me about Whitefields Ministries and what's the latest.
Well, tremendous stuff. Right now, the fall is really busy. I'd appreciate people's prayers because I am on a jet plane all the time. This Friday, I jump on, fly up to Edmonton, Alberta, and we have a fundraising dinner that's been going on up there for, I think, 35 years or more. People have been involved up there. Started a lot with the Canadian-Japanese people. They wanted to reach their country with the gospel, and we started in the 1950s. Our founder was a missionary to Japan, and so it really touched the heart of the Japanese community up in Canada, and they really got that launched, and so we'll have our dinner up there, and it's a great time with them. Just got back, actually, from Sacramento, if anybody's listening up in that area. And by the way, I bring you greetings from Alberta, because I was in Canada 2 weeks ago, and people came up to our banquets in Calgary and Lethbridge, both places. People came up and said, hey, I'm listening to you on the radio. I get on the internet and they listen to KPRZ.com and they jump in and listen. So some of them are listening right now. Hello, Lethbridge, Calgary, everybody up there. And, oh, you got to say Canadian, eh? So hey, I'm bilingual. You got to get the eh in the right place.
I'm bilingual.
Yeah, I'm bilingual. I speak Canadian, eh? And they don't even know. They don't even hear me say that. My wife usually elbows me, though. This ribs are bruised on the right side here. But we are traveling a lot, and we appreciate the prayers. And just exciting things going on in the world. You were talking earlier about the Philippians, and citizenship is in heaven. I'm reminded of that all the time because I do travel in other countries. I have to remember, I'm not a citizen of this country. And that sometimes is a little different because laws are different, rules are different. But ultimately, we have to remember that we are citizens of heaven. And it's also fascinating because I was talking with some people over the weekend, and it really hit me that we are not family members of earth either. You know, we have a family.
Right.
We are God's children. That is fascinating to me that God has made it. Somebody was asking me, so how does this work? Jesus is God's only son, but he calls us sons. He calls us children. How does that work? And I said, well, it's really fascinating because we have moms and dads, and sometimes they're not good to us. And that, especially when we get hit with that as Christians in some other countries, it's crazy how Satan has developed religions, false religions around the world to make it harder for someone to become a Christian, because if you receive Jesus Christ, your family will reject you, will throw you out, will have nothing to do with you, or will say you are offending everybody in our family. That's true in Japan, Shintoism. Hey, if you become a Christian, you're turning your back on worshiping the ancestors. Do you not appreciate grandma, great-grandpa? Imagine the pressure that is.
Wow, yeah.
I know you face a little of that because Judaism has long been rejecting Jesus Christ and Christian principles. I've heard of people where their dads posted an obituary. We had a pastor in Japan who, when he said, I'm attending a Christian church, his mom was okay with that. Just, it's okay if you go there. Come with me still to the temple and we'll do our thing here. And then he said, I can't go to the temple anymore. And then it got a little more serious. And then he said, I'm going to be baptized. And oh, man, everything went crazy.
Wow.
And then he said, I really want to serve the Lord. I'm going to be a pastor. And his father ran an obituary in the paper. said, my son is dead to me. We have young people. We were over in Uganda this summer. One of the pastors, and I want your listeners to pray for Johnny, John Bosco. We're praying that we'll have the resources and the funds to support John Bosco to become a pastor in a village called Chigaga. Now, last year we started a church in Katonia, and we were back there again. We've built the roof. We've got the water tank there. We're going to get another water filled up at that spot. And so that's exciting. We've got the Church God's Embassy in Katobo. So Katonia, now we're going to go to Chigaga. And John is the guy there. But here's John was born in a Muslim family, but his family also worshiped spirits. So they had their whole shrine set up and Muslims, but worshiped spirits. And that happens a lot there. Even Anglican churches will say it's okay to worship with the witch doctor during the week, but come here on Sunday. And even the Catholic churches will do that. They'll kind of amalgamate all that together over there. So the Muslims were doing that too. And they had their own little family shrine, their idols, their little gods. And John was the oldest son. He went away from home to find work, and what he found was Jesus Christ, and he received Christ as a Savior at a church far out in that Rukungiri area where we're working. And he found Christ, and then got word that his dad was ill, was sick, and was being called home. His dad passed away, and then John got home, and they said, Dad left word that you are to become the spiritual leader of the evil spirit shrine, you know, the spirit shrine. You're the one now. You're the family spirit leader. And John's like, I can't do that. I'm a Christian
that's
now.
Not gonna work, right?
Yeah. And they're like, what? Everybody does that. And he goes, no, not the kind of Christian I've become. I can't be the spirit leader of the shrines. And this is, you know, working with the witch doctor saying, what do we need to bring? What do we sacrifice? What do we do? Who do we commit? What do we? And he went away to pray to try to convince his family, Lord, how do I convince my family I can't do this? And the shrine caught on fire and burned while he was gone. His family had him thrown in jail. And then his brother paid to have someone in the jail kill him. A prisoner came up, hey, I've been offered money to kill you, but it's not worth it, not enough to take you on. I'm not going to do it, but just heads up, somebody's trying to hire somebody to kill you. Finally, one day, a guard walked him away and said, hey, dig over that way, dig the trench this way. They do work parties there, and they were working. And he heard the gun click behind him. When he turned around, the guard, he just stared him right in the eyes. The guard's like, lost his nerve. People on the radio don't know what I'm doing. I'm staring right at David.
Right.
And lost his nerve, put the gun down. John turned around, and the guard comes up and stabbed him 4 times, and they hauled him away. They thought he was dead. Another prisoner was sent in to wash his body, prep him for burial, and he goes, this is weird. This guy's alive. And John, like, coughed, and they got together, some guards, some other prisoners, contacted his mom, who gave more money than the brother gave, and said, get him away from there. John is now living with us down in the Rukungiri area, doing a great job. He's got a great testimony, a great witness going there.
Wow.
You know, his brother one time got sick, and John went back and ministered to the brother that paid to have him killed. That's the love of Christ coming
right
through.
That's
so
cool.
Hey, my brother Mike, I don't know, man. He never paid to have me killed, but, you know, he's a brother, you know, and you got to put up with brothers. But here's John going back to do that. So that's what God does in terms of making us his family.
That's powerful. I mean, when you do stories like that, does your brain just go,
I can't fathom
like
it.
It's way beyond, and mm-hmm. we don't go through anything like, all right, here's what I want to do. We're going to take a short break and come back, but I do want people to recognize real fast, these are the kind of testimonies you hear when we're talking about advancing the gospel in places that the gospel doesn't get to, and supporting pastors who plant these churches in these places, enabling them to spend their entire lives advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is our call, which is our commission, which is our requirement. So I want you to check out whitefields.org to get a feel for the ministry. If you've not done it before, if you've heard us before, we need your prayers. He needs your prayers. Steve needs your prayers.
Amen.
Coral needs your prayers. They need your prayers so they can keep doing the very thing that they're doing, advancing the gospel of Christ one evangelistical moment at a time, one miracle at a time. Take a short break, and then we're coming back. Don't forget, whitefields.org. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
Listen, baby. Ain't no mountain high. Ain't no valley low. Ain't no river wide enough, baby.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 a.m., KPRZ. The David Spoon Experience continues on K-Praise, 1210 a.m., KPRZ.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California, hanging out with Steve Wheeler from Whitefields Ministries, whitefields.org. If you don't know how to spell Whitefields, you take the word white, you take the word fields, and you put them together, and then you slap a .org on the backside of that, whitefields.org. You can always call them 760-846-8610, 760-846-8610. 8610. Just as a quick reference, that's from John 5. Is that the
John 4:35?
4:35.
Jesus, yep, John 4:35. Jesus said, "Lift up your eyes, look on the fields; they're white, already to harvest." It's an interesting word there, Greek. A lot of people think, no, it means ripe. It meant harvest. He got it wrong. What was he saying? Why did he call them white? Fields are not white, and farmers have declared that to me. They're not white. I said, no, he wasn't looking at the fields. He says they're not ripe and ready for harvest for four more months. It's the people coming out of the town there, the village, that were actually brought by the woman at the well, not by the disciples.
So wow.
A little bit there.
Hey,
the disciples,
a little bit of theology there. I like
yeah,
that.
The disciples, they're all in town. They bring nobody out. They don't bring anybody out to meet the Messiah. The woman goes into town, and everybody from town comes out to meet her. And I just think it's kind of a cool little narrative going on there, because it reminds us we need to be involved in the witness. We need to be involved in being an evangelist, even right here. I had the privilege this morning of talking with some people over coffee. I'm going to give them a Bible. We're going to share. It was great talking with them. They had questions, and we just met at a coffee shop, and we began to talk, and you can do that. And that's what God wants us to be involved with, is just being truthful to what the Word of God says.
Yeah, and I think that people think that they have to reach a certain level of clothing,
right?
Or television shows or microphones. It's like, nope, I don't think
so. A lot of times people are afraid that they won't have all the answers. But you know, the beauty is that we can find out the answers. If somebody asks you something you don't know, just say, hey, I don't know that. I'll find out. We'll find out. And actually, sometimes being a witness can be better when you're discovering something with them and people are amazed to find out. And it's really important for us to be involved in that, not just when we go overseas somewhere. Well, I witness when I'm in another country. You need to be a witness right here at home.
Yeah, wherever you go.
And wherever
you,
don't have
to, you go. It's not that you have to say it perfectly, because remember, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is right. The power of God, not you.
And that's what we were just talking about, that idea that the gospel and the testimony that John has there in Uganda, that idea that his life brings him to be a witness. You know, I don't have something like that in my life. My family were Christians, and I've even joked with people in the past when they're interviewing me for something. They say, well, can you tell us when you became a Christian? I'll go, well, I was born a Christian. And, you know, I was born in a Christian family. I grew up in the church. I was on the nursery rolls. I did all that going to church as a little kid. But still, God gripped my heart one day when I was in a vacation Bible school class, and my VBS teacher, Linda, Mrs. McKay, asked, does anybody here want to respond to the story we've just told? Have you become a Christian yourself, or are you just doing church because you're in a Christian family? And God gripped my heart and said, I'm not a believer. I'm not a Christian. I've never done anything with this myself. And that's when I became a believer in Jesus Christ myself.
Wow. Hey, I don't think I've ever heard that story.
No,
before.
I haven't told you that whole story.
Wow.
Yeah, that was growing up in church. I was a good little boy, good little Stevie. And everybody tells you how good you are. And then one day you realize, I'm not really that good, guys. I cheated on a Sunday school memory verse chart. That's my claim to fame.
The big sins are coming out now, that's right. Ladies and gentlemen.
You want to talk about being a gang leader and being in prison? I was a six-year-old in a Sunday school class, and I cheated on the memory verse chart. I was in the room all by myself, and my parents were leading the youth group outside on a Sunday night in the other room, and I was sitting there looking at that memory verse chart, and there were empty boxes next to my name that didn't have the little star in it. And you know, it was just like sin creeping up inside me and pride overtaking me that I wanted to make sure there was a star next to every memory verse square. And there were Sundays where I had not learned my memory verse at 6 years old. I was already a little decrepit sinner. And so I got up, and in those days, David, we had to lick the stars. They weren't the self-adhesive things.
Exactly.
3M hadn't discovered that yet. So I licked the stars, I put them on, and then just to be... show how pride really wells up inside us. I had to put an extra star beyond everybody else. Well, that was for next week. So when the Sunday school teacher comes into the class, it's, oh, little Stevie has already said his verse this morning. Wow, that's amazing. I just got here. And of course, I tell people when I share that testimony, when they came in, it's like, well, what did you do? And they asked you, well, I lied. That's what you do, right? You're going to lie. I'm going to lie. I have no idea how those stars got there. You know, I'm like 50 years later now. I still remember that vividly in my mind. I can't remember anything else I did when I was 6 years old, but I remember that, doing that.
Brother, if that was your that was your level, I'm just going to say, because you and I, we have a great relationship. If that was your level, you are as darn close to a saint as I'm ever going to talk to.
Yeah, but
six years old, I was conniving. I was conniving felonies. What are you talking about?
Well, I think cheating on a memory verse chart—that's pretty serious stuff. Because you're standing there right in front of God, saying, "I'm going to lie about memorizing the Bible." No, actually, you know what's really amazing is that whether you've grown up in church and you're this little good boy, or whether you have been conniving felonies at age six. We're all sinners, and we need the death of Jesus Christ,
that's
his burial,
sure.
And his resurrection. I'm hoping to preach in a couple of weeks here, and I've been working on a message called Clothed in His Righteousness. The reality of, and I know you talk about this all the time. I love listening to your show because of that. But that's what we're in the message of delivering, the good news, because we talk with people that have been possessed by evil spirits. We've talked to other people, and it's the love and righteousness of Jesus Christ that he gives to us. And it's just great being a part of that ministry.
Yeah, fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to check it out, whitefields.org. Give him a call, 760-846-8610. Only if you want to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ with a local ministry right in your backyard. That's all. Just a way to think of it. All right, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. Taking a 22-hour break, then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. I have to celebrate you.